This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 14th of July 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today I'm joined by Will Hodgkinson, chief pop and rock critic for The Times, who'll be taking us through the week's best tunes. On the show this week, we have the UK's euphoric poppers, Years and Years. Euphoric poppers? Aren't they always? The Chicago lo-fi pop stylings of Ezra Furman and a Norwegian soulful jazz oddity saved from obscurity from those talented musical magpies at Light in the Attic Records in the US. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review on Monocle 24. Well, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
I was going to say fresh from Glastonbury. That's a while ago, but you have recovered.
I recovered from Glastonbury. I recovered from the sight of Kanye West getting the words wrong to his own songs and missing the auto cue, which was all pre-recorded. So, yeah, it was... But apart from that, Glastonbury was great.
They were the lowlights. The highlights were, in a word, what should we have seen that we didn't see?
Goat were great. Yeah. A band called King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard were fantastic. Really good fun.
Name.
All silly bands like that. A band called Toy, who've been around for a few years, did a secret gig. I thought Florence was great. Yeah. The jury is a little out on that, but I thought she was great fun. The Who, actually, they were complaining about how bad it was. I thought it seemed fine when I was there. I think it was, you know, a rock star's perfectionism of not being able to hear properly and that kind of stuff. But it was great. It was a good show.
Hooray. That was Glastonbury. We got a free Glastonbury review.
Yeah, that was
squeezed
it.
In
That'll
at
do.
The top. We're going to talk about Ezra Furman first. Chicago dude, kind of lo-fi, all sorts of things in this.
All sorts of things. I love Ezra Furman. He kept doing these albums, and I thought, yeah, it's quite good. You know, it seemed like quite good indie rock of the Jonathan Richman nature. But, you know, there's a hell of a lot of people doing that, and there was nothing particularly standing out. And then he's done this new album called Perpetual Motion People. First off, I was taken by the cover where he's kind of got in drag, but in a very strange way. He's mixing up a sort of uptown sort of New York society lady outfit with her drug-addled teenage daughter. So he's wearing a sort of twin set and then a sort of dirty baseball cap on top. It's very strange. He's also an observant Jew. He is, orthodox.
Yeah.
And he has just really bloomed. I think he's struggled, actually. I think he's had a few albums which haven't done as much as he'd hoped. At the same time, he's suffering from depression and all other things which often affect very creative people. And he's just suddenly got everything together. And it's a really good album. It's very much, it's very Velvet Underground-like. The songs are really good, all really, really tight. And you feel that he's actually trying to say something in every one. He's trying to communicate how he's feeling. I just thought it was one of the great albums which really, you know, you know it when you hear it. It's just leapt out.
How beautifully put. Should we listen to it a little bit?
Yeah, why not?
Ezra Furman, this is Restless Year. That was Restless Year from Ezra Furman from the album Perpetual Motion People, as recommended by Will Hodgkinson. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Lots going on in there, Will.
It reminds me of those great 60s garage tracks. It reminds me of 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. But also, it's got that 70s New York thing going on. So
Lou Reed. There's MC5 in there as well.
MC5. Sort of stuff. But then it's a pop song, and that's what I thought was great about it. It's a really good pop song. It's got a great chorus. It's got a fantastic hook. And yet it's got a kind of punk energy. It's just the sort, for me, it's the kind of music I love. You know, when I hear it, I know it, and I think it's just great.
Nice. Well, we can recommend that one. That was Perpetual Motion, the record. It's from Ezra Furman, an ever-interesting cat. We're going to move on. Years and Years. This is a record that a lot of people have been talking about. The LP is called Communion. Shall we listen to a little bit of it first? The track is Shine.
I remember us alone, waiting for the light to go. Don't you feel that hunger? I've got so many secrets to show. When I saw you on that stage, I shivered with the look you gave. Don't you hear that rhythm? Can you show me how we can escape?
Okay, that was Years and Years. The song is Shine. It's from a record called Communion. We've heard a lot of that. It's all over the place. I kind of feel like it's on an advert. Maybe it's just all over the radio. I don't know what. Yeah.
It feels like it's on an advert, even if it's not on an advert, which is kind of my problem with it.
Okay.
I'm interested in Years and Years. They won the BBC Critics' Choice poll, which is one of these strange things where you're sort of... Sorry, the BBC Sound of, which is the BBC Sound of 2015... and you're kind of never sure. What, you know, you hear about these bands beforehand or being talked about, and then lo and behold, they've won the poll. It's very hard to work out how the whole thing happens. To me, I've got frustrated with this band because they've been around for a few years, and they used to be a kind of indie band. They're on Kitsune, which is a very hip French label, and suddenly they got this major label deal. They won the BBC Sound of, and then they came out with this album, which somehow represented everything that happened to be going on in 2015, whether that's sort of boy band pop, so the R&B thing that's been going on a lot recently, to this kind of 80s electro influence. And I was listening to the songs, and I was thinking, well, I can't work out what these songs were actually about. They didn't appear to be about anything. At the same time, they've got three very likable young men, and the whole thing seems to be almost like a major label dream. It's almost like I don't know if it's been maybe dreamt up, or just like they're having a dream that this is their perfect band. And I got frustrated because I just thought, this, you know, have they just thought, okay, so has somebody come along and said, you know what?
The guitar thing's not working for you. Yeah. Let's go electro.
Almost like somebody said, like, you know what? If you want to carry on doing your indie stuff, that's fine. You know, be poor and miserable until you're, you know, for the rest of your life. Or why didn't you try this? We'll put you in with this producer and this songwriter, and you'll make lots of money. And that's a very cynical view of mine, and it may not be true, I should add, but it feels like that to me.
There is a sense of hot chip without the kind of bedroom sort of suicidal tendencies and craziness going on.
But I love hot chip.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's that kind of brand of electro, but a bit more uppity.
Less uppity. Exactly, but hot chip have got a great... There's something very eccentric about hot chip, and you can't manufacture that. And I suppose really what it felt like to me was that this was manufactured.
Is that not a nice sound coming out of the radio? When you heard that for the first time, you kind of prick up your ears to it, but then maybe it starts off being this two-dimensional thing and kind of stays it, perhaps.
I get frustrated because I hear these sounds which I've heard before, and they've been rearranged into new forms. And so familiarity makes it easier for the listener. You know, they're kind of, ooh, 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 ooh. I mean, how many times have you heard that?
Yeah.
And then you put that together with a kind of modish synth sound. So it's definitely clever, and it's going to be successful. And I think you're going to be hearing it a lot on adverts and films and the sad bits of films.
The sad bits of films. In the olden days, we'd have called it a Dawson's Creek playout song. Right?
Dawson's Creek playout
song. The kind of thing that goes over the titles, over the credits.
If only Dawson's Creek was still with us, I think Years and Years would be absolutely fine with Dawson's
Creek. It's a shoe-in. We're going to something. We'll see what Will Hodgkinson makes of Karen Krug. This is Ode to Billy Joe. It's from a New Light in the Attic compilation. Check this out.
And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe put a frog down my back at the Carroll County. was not talking to him. After church last Sunday night, I had another piece of apple pie. You know, it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on the
All right. Well, there's a lot more of that, but that's just an excerpt of Ode to Billy Joe, sung by Karen Krog. That's from a New Light in the Attic compilation. Beautiful, kind of all
Wonderful.
Over the place. That sounds like a sort of controlled explosion of a house falling down.
It's
in
so
a very
good.
Jazzy way. Beautiful.
It's so good. My interest pricked up because I love Ode to Billy Joe by Bobby Gentry, the famous song. And I'd never heard of Karen Krog. And it turns out she's very famous in her native Norway and throughout Scandinavia. She is 78. That came from the 60s. I think late 60s, early 70s, that song. But she's been going ever since. She's part of the jazz world, which is not a world which I'm particularly familiar with. But she's got such a brilliant voice. I love the voice. And the album as a whole, which is this Light in the Attic album, you know, there are songs like that which are kind of pop, but she's doing a sultry jazz take on it and that fantastic minimalism. But at the same time, there are very out there experimental pieces where she's processing her voice through early electronics. And it's a strange mix. So it's somewhere between the avant-garde jazz and pop. And it's very natural, really good. Really good singing. And I think she's one of those people who's got that ability to have a technically fantastic voice. In fact, Amy Winehouse had this. It's a technically fantastic voice, but she can put all the feeling into it without ending up with vocal gymnastics. You know, she stays on the note.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And Light in the Attic, presumably, once again, are kind of doing exactly that thing, shining a torch into a box of old dusty things and finding that they all happen to be jewelled.
Well, Light in the Attic is becoming a friend to this...
This section of Monocle Radio.
Yes. Just because they're so good. I mean, it's not because, you know, it's just because, you know, week after week, every time I'm getting all these records through, Light in the Attic, they come with this beautiful packaging. And what I like about them is that they've still got a real fealty to the album. So they believe that if you make a good product and it's someone that no one's ever heard of, yet they sell well because you end up trusting them. They're always good. Even if you don't necessarily think you may not love the music, but there's always going to have something. It's always going to be interesting.
There was something interesting, and that's the thing. How long do you give these things, and what's the mark of something? When you take it out of the sleeve, you put it on turntable, you put it in the CD player, you put your headphones on, how long do you kind of give things? I mean, clearly you have to listen to the whole of most things in order to know that they're any good. But is this kind of thing that you stop? You're maybe working at the same time. It just makes you stop and absolutely have to listen to the whole of the rest of the LP.
So what happens, because I get sent so much stuff, you end up with these kind of filtering systems which can be quite prejudiced. And so, you know, I see Light in the Attic. I know that they're good. And so I tend to go for them. There are other labels which I kind of know that is not going to be so much my kind of thing. But generally, I try and listen to a lot. And it does happen. It happens quite a bit where there's been someone who I've hated at first and then I've grown to absolutely love. But with this kind of thing, with the Karen Krog, I mean, especially with that, it's just so unusual. The instrumentation is so minimal. And then her voice comes in and, you know, it's a very familiar song. And I knew the song really well. And instantly it grabs you. You know, there are other things which, I mean, maybe in years to come, I might think years and years were one of the greatest bands ever. But right now, it's not happening for me. So who knows?
The proof of the pudding is in the years and years.
In the years and years. I think it is. Although, you know, there's nothing wrong with something instantaneous and fun.
Yeah.
But there's a real joy in those undiscovered gems. Or, you know, unearthed gems that Light in the Attic specialises.
And I guess there's also, yeah, and there's a kind of pleasure in finding someone that's in their 70s and has had an amazing career, but in a genre that you're not...
And
you go, oh, wow, and they're a kind of colossus within their own world.
It's great.
That's kind of nice to discover someone at that age as well.
Yeah, and also to know that there's still all these things out there that, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and yet I'm still discovering things like, I'd never heard of Karen Krog. She's been around since 1962. You know, she's done all this stuff, and it's great.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really nice.
Nice one, Light in the Attic. Thank you very much for that. That was Karen Krog performing Ode to Billy Joe. Before that, we heard Shine from the record Communion by Years and Years. And we kicked off with the brilliant Ezra Furman. We heard Restless Year from the album Perpetual Motion People. Who was telling us about them? Will Hodgkinson, chief pop and rock critic for The Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ever. You've been tuned in to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Tom Hall, and our studio manager was Toby Hammer. No, it wasn't. It was Chris Grimes. Join us again next week for more musical picks and throughout the rest of the week for other cultural finds. Until then, I've been Robert Bounds. Thank you very much for tuning in.